Good evening and welcome to Rick Bizzio's Franchise Focus. This is co-host Graham Chapman coming to you with the first show of 2015. Of course, our overall goal always has been, always will, is to make prospective franchisees more educated on what is required to become a franchisee and succeed as one. So we're very excited to get kicked off this year. Got some very exciting shows coming your way, including today's show, which will focus on PATHI, which is the Pro Athlete Franchise Initiative, which is helping athletes make the transition from the sports world into franchising. Got the co-founders Stan Friedman and Michael Stone here with me today. Should have a fantastic call for you. We'll tell you how it ties into Rick's process, and we'll showcase how they're doing just what I mentioned they did, getting athletes involved in franchising and helping them get started with the business model that makes perfect sense for their past experience being an athlete. Outside of that, a few housekeeping items before we get started. First, as always, if you want to comment on this show or any show or share your opinion on what you'd like to hear next with the podcast, reach out to us on Twitter at EducatedZ, that is Educated Z-E-E. On LinkedIn, search for Rick Bizzio. Also, feel free to leave some comments in Rick's most recent Entrepreneur.com articles by searching his name at that URL, Entrepreneur.com. And just be sure to be geared up for our next two episodes. Rick will be checking in on January 29th, Thursday the 29th, for his monthly podcast, talking about sort of a five trends to watch in 2015 and taking a peek at the recent franchise business economic outlook that was released by the International Franchise Association. And feel free to check back in first week of February when I speak with Stan here on February 5th at 6 p.m. to talk about his company, FRM Solutions, what it's doing to change the game for CRM tools and portals within franchising, and how to build a aggressive, strategic, and powerful attack plan for upcoming trade shows. But after that, I do digress for sure. So I do have Michael Stone here with me today to talk about PATHI. He is a leading consultant within the franchising space. He's the CEO and founder of Coliseum Enterprises and, as mentioned, a co-founder of PATHI. But I will lead with Stan Friedman, as he has deep experience working with Rick Bizzio. They are close friends, have worked together to help many people get a successful start in franchising. As mentioned, he is the president of FRM Solutions, a leading franchise relationship management marketing technology company, and he is also a co-founder of the Pro Athlete Franchise Initiative. So welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining me, and I appreciate your time here on the Franchise Focus.
Thanks for
having me. Great being with you, Graham.
Absolutely. So, Stan, as we were sort of mentioning off the top and talking before the call, you said you wanted to take a moment to describe, you know, how Rick's process and its power as far as educating franchisees ties into what you guys work on over at PATHI. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment just to tie that in, I think that would help our listeners.
Sure, Graham. And I can't say enough about the need for the kind of work that Rick does in providing education to potential franchisees, and it's so similar to what Michael and I have been doing with Pro Athletes. It's no coincidence when people succeed in a franchise business. You need to have the disciplines of being a business owner and learning about the core business that you're going to be providing, but you also need to learn about the disciplines of franchising, and there are certain requirements that make a franchise business work. And that has a lot to do with interdependencies. It has a lot to do with depending on systems that are already in place, whether you've created them or not. And athletes, veterans, they tend as groups to be people who have not only given orders but taken them and followed operating systems that were put in place. A position player in the NFL gets a playbook and he's given his films and he's told, study your plays, learn your position, execute, execute, execute. It's not his plan. He didn't write the plan. He's not calling the plays. He's just having to learn how to execute them. And to be successful in franchising, that's what it takes. Somebody that Rick teaches gets the benefit of the educated franchisee. As a practitioner, Rick is able to give him the years of experience of what it takes in franchising to be successful. And Michael and I have been working with athletes who have had years and years of discipline as NFL, NBA, NHL players. But the plays that they've been studying and the references that they've been making are to the world of sports. We're helping them transition from that playing field to the world of business and franchise ownership. And even with all the years of discipline that they've had as position players in professional sports, even they need the education that comes from learning how to manage a franchise business. So I applaud Rick and I salute all the work that he does toward helping those that he transitions into franchising, and they should know that they're not alone. Even schooled pro athletes coming into the world of franchising have to learn what they're learning, and we're here to help provide for them through the PAFI initiative.
No doubt. No, and that synergy certainly makes sense. Thank you for sharing that. You couldn't be more spot on. I mean, no matter what type of program you're used to following, playbook you're used to following, you know, generals, orders you're used to following, it's great to come into franchising with the knowledge of, you know, I am a big part of what my success is going to be, but I'm operating within the framework of brand regulations and a brand's reputation. So, Michael, I actually want to turn the attention to you there, because there is a similarity between the people that Rick works with who are, you know, former corporate employees or people who are accustomed to, you know, working a job underneath an employer and underneath a company. So they are one piece below a brand. So they are accustomed to dealing with some side of playbook, but do need some information on franchising and learning how to operate within a franchising model, just like the athletes you guys work with, you know, are certainly accustomed to working under and being a part of a bigger team mentality. But I would say that the shared characteristic that these former employees have and former athletes have is that they wouldn't be interested in franchising or wouldn't be successful in franchising if they did not possess a fiery entrepreneurial spirit and an ability to lead and direct and take charge, but still stay within that framework. So, you know, you being a business owner, being a part of the franchising world, being someone who spent 8 years playing in the NFL and sort of going through that process, being an athlete that has since made the transition to the business world, I guess sort of talk to us about the importance of having those leadership skills and what is required to have an entrepreneurial spirit, but not so much that you can't operate within the system of a franchise that works well.
Exactly. And definitely appreciate you inviting me on here, Graham. But definitely, I would say, you know, as a former athlete, you know, coming through the experience, I think the problem that a lot of athletes have in transition is that the fact is they have a lot of entrepreneurial fire. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Being an athlete, you feel like you're a self-made person. So you want to stoke those entrepreneurial fires. But the problems happen when guys forget what made them successful. What made me successful in the New England Patriots was a very defined game plan that had been worked on by Belichick, you know, through years and years and years of coaching. So when you really realize that you have to connect that entrepreneurial spirit with a grounded base of knowledge or a grounded operational manual, you know, I think that gives you the best chance to succeed. And whether you're an athlete or a business person, I think that understanding is what really can allow you to be successful in that transition.
Got it. So, Mike, why don't you, since you're the athlete in the room and someone that certainly lived up to something that I had as a childhood dream but certainly fell way short of accomplishing, talk to us about PAFI. I mean, you guys are there for the athletes to help them get their start here in franchising, help them establish a career, because, you know, as we all know with all sports, but particularly with football, you know, being the league entitled, you know, it's also the National Football League, but many refer to it as not for long for a purpose. Mm-hmm. I guess take us through why you guys created PAFI and what you guys do there specifically. Give us sort of your elevator pitch.
Basically, what PAFI is something to help, is a tool or resource for athletes who are preparing for transition. And as an athlete, like you said, it's a not for long league in many sports, so you're always preparing for transition. Our goal is to get in front of athletes while they're still playing, help them understand franchising as one of the options, you know, as they get into, you know, as they get into retirement from professional sports. And what we do is we tie in, we're an initiative, a strategic initiative of the IFA. And we tie those athletes to the IFA and to the education and to all the franchisors that are part of the IFA and a part of PAFI. We tie them, we help them network, build a network of a franchise-specific business people, and we also help them understand and manage their expectations. A big part of what, you know, we do is help the athletes manage expectations. As a franchisee, what is expected of me? How do I operate? What's the general framework of my commitment to the franchisor as a franchisee? So a lot of what we do is at work, helping people manage their expectations. And really, we do a lot of talking people out of franchising. As an athlete, if my expectation is that I'm going to come into a business that's already set up for me and I won't have to be hands-on and execute well as I did in the game, you know, franchising may not be for me. So a lot of our conversations are talking guys and gals out of franchising if it's not a fit or if it really, you know, doesn't gel with their expectations.
Gotcha. Yeah, man. I mean, educating new franchisees, telling them if it's not a fit, helping them figure out which system will be a good fit for them. There's certainly a lot of tie-ins to the educated franchisee process. So I assume, Stan, that's part of the reason you got involved. So how are you involved with the initiative, and how do you help these athletes make that transition successfully?
Well, my side of the equation, Graham, is really more on the franchisor side. The thing that has helped Michael and myself gel so well is that my years of experience in franchising and working within the framework of franchising is one important part of the equation. Michael goes out to the world of the leagues and the player associations and the athletes themselves as one of their peers and is able to capture their attention and interest in terms of seeking an opportunity in franchising or even considering an opportunity in franchising as something viable after their bodies say no more and they still have the need to produce income. But what they find when they get to the classroom that Michael invites them to is something that I'm better equipped through my advisory board and the connections that have been lifelong for me in the world of franchising to create the fabric of curriculum that we can deliver to the athletes and bring the two sides of this all-important equation together. They trust Michael because Michael's a peer. What we deliver once they come into the environment of the classroom is something that our group through our advisory board of franchising professionals has been better suited to put together for them than Michael might have been without our help. So we bring these two worlds together, and we do the same for franchisors because franchisors aren't necessarily acclimated to the difference between coaching an athlete into their brand as compared to just following the fundamentals of their system and bringing people from the business world in a little bit different. You know, athletes aren't so used to being told what to do as they are being coached into what to do. So PAFI has provided education and information for the athletes to learn about franchising and for the franchisors to learn a little bit more about how to manage relationships with athletes. It's been a little bit of the concentric circles between Michael's world and mine that have helped us both embrace the need for each to help the other understand best how to communicate across those two worlds. And together we drive the end goal of bringing better educated former athletes taking transferable skills into the new world of franchising and moving forward for many more years of success on this new playing field or this court.
Cool. Well said. That makes sense. That is well said. Stan, you did say something there that caught my attention as sort of a good segue to my next question because I want to make it clear or be able to use this as something where you guys can take it to athletes who are considering franchising and give them reasons why they are a good fit for this. I mean, you're talking about an aggressive yet grounded and, you know, confident yet, willing to be coached type person that typically does have the leadership skills, the ability to work within a team sort of mindset. I mean, I imagine those are all characteristics that make athletes a good fit. You know, if you wouldn't mind expanding on that, Michael, what other characteristics or other sort of traits of athletes make them an ideal fit in a way that maybe a corporate employee or someone who wasn't an athlete may not possess?
Oh, definitely. You know, you talk about transferable skills, and a lot of what we have to do is remind the athletes on how many transferable skills they have. You know, you really have to think about it. Every athlete who's made to a professional level has been a leader on some level, whether it be in college or the NFL. They've led teams. They've had to execute. A big key between a winning team and a losing team is the ability to execute, to do exactly as the playbook says, and to be able to get 11 people at the same time to do it. So the leadership skills you learn through that, the ability to work as a team, the ability to lead by example, all these things are just the fabric of being a professional athlete. These are all things that make up professional athletes. And I think that once our athletes that we kind of coach realize that, wow, these are things I can transfer into what I'm doing in franchising, they really start to identify how they can be successful. You're going to lead a team of employees. You're going to have to motivate that team. You're going to have to find new ways every day to motivate, and you're going to have to lead the charge by executing first. So I think that once people really understand that, and once you maximize upon it, you can be really successful.
Sure. Another thing, Graham, that's a common denominator that I think is frequently or often overlooked, and yet it jumps off the page for me in both places, franchising as well as athletes. I mean, the athlete is out there as the individual practitioner, if you will, and as Michael said, very dependent upon his body and his strength and the things that he does personally. But there's a trust factor that leads to success in the world of professional sports when you're a team player, and no matter what it is your role is on.
I think they lost Stan, but I can't continue that.
Keep going. A little bit of technical difficulties, folks. Yeah, we can keep rolling.
And where Stan was probably going, and which is very true, which rings very true, in team sports, there is a huge trust element. There's a huge dependency on other team members executing, for the play to actually happen. So you think about the trust between the franchisor and the franchisee. You think about the trust between the franchisee and the manager. You think about the trust between the manager and the employees. There's a huge interdependence between all these parts to have a successful operation. And really pulling that together, is paramount to being successful. So I think that is something that, when you look at things sports and look at franchising, there's some huge parallels.
There's no doubt about it. From what you guys are saying, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I work with a number of franchisors each and every day, and many of which I'm working with their franchise sales team. They would love the idea of having more people within their franchise system who possess the skills and abilities and mindset that a lot of the athletes you guys are working with have, which is, operating under that team concept. Basically, a leader who has an aggressive and, tireless motor, who has a willingness to be coached. There are so few people who truly fit that, that ideology or that perfect example of a ideal franchisee, and athletes certainly have that. So it's pretty unbelievable what you guys are doing. So I guess, take me through this. I mean, I know Stan's been making inroads with the franchisors. You've been making the inroads with the athletes. How long have you been doing this, and how successful has it been?
We're just wrapping up our fourth year of operations. And I'll talk about our shareholders. We partner with the International Franchise Association. So now we're the education arm of the IFA. We have about 50 or so franchisors who actually fund our initiative. And these franchisors, play an active role in the workshops that we produce each year. We have partnerships with multiple sports organizations, whether they're active leagues or retired players associations. So, as you think about it, the leagues and the players associations have a responsibility to help their athletes transition. And it's always a positive mark on their brand when their athletes can transition well. So we play that active role for the leagues in helping, educate their athletes so they transition well. At the same time, for the IFA, we play that active role in helping, develop a new niche market of potential franchisees. And, of course, for the franchisor partners, we allow them to play an active role in the education process. And they're all about building relationships with potential franchisees. So it's an ecosystem to where everybody gets value out of it. And of course, the main value gainer is the athlete who is there, to leverage the resource to learn about a potential business opportunity.
Which is certainly the purpose of BAFI, no doubt. So Stan, I hear you're back with us. If you could sort of take us through, basically, I'm asking Michael about how long you guys have been operating and the success you've had so far. Do you have an idea of how many athletes you've gotten to franchising, potentially any success stories you guys have so far?
Mike, you probably have a better handle on the numbers. It's been 5 years that we've been doing these summits.
Yeah, we do workshops. We do an annual workshop every summer in July. We do individual workshops with leagues. We've taken about 500 or so athletes through our workshops, whether they be our in-person annual workshop, whether they be we do a lot of events in parallel with Super Bowls and All-Star weekends. But about 500 athletes have come through our network. I would say, you know, probably our biggest success stories have been, you know, and it makes sense in the health and wellness space. We've had a lot of athletes come through our workshops, make connections with health and wellness brands that are members of our organization, and actually become franchisees and multi-unit franchisees. Probably, I would say the latest is would be David Garrard. He was a former quarterback for the Jets last year, came to a workshop 2 years ago and hit it off with Retro Fitness, one of our partners. And I believe, and you know, he's a former Jacksonville Jaguar, so I believe he did a multiple store deal in Jacksonville last year. So he's rolled out his first store, and of course Retro did that the past couple of years. Lee Bodden, who was a safety for the Patriots at the time, he came to one of our events 3 years ago, and similar story, was looking to transition, you know, looking to be educated and build a relationship that ends up developing him to a franchisee. So you have this synergy in one place where you bring all of our franchisors, all of our athletes. We also incorporate wealth managers and agents, and you find these relationships developing and networking happening. And for us, we let it all happen. All we do is educate. The relationships that come out of it, the business that comes out of it is good. We try not to focus on it. We focus on creating that setting and that ecosystem, and we let the relationships come from there.
I was about to say, I think you hit on the key word there, which is you guys are really cultivating an ecosystem within which former athletes, and I guess current athletes, it's up to you to describe if that's true, can get their introduction to franchising, figure out if it's a fit, and then have all the tools at their disposal that they need to get a successful start within franchising. So I think that's an excellent way to put it.
Exactly.
And Grant, there's something else that an athlete can do that that he couldn't do in his prior position in his prior career, which many people that Rick talks with that are coming from the corporate world will be able to relate to as well.
Sure.
Athletes haven't been able to share their positions with their wives or their families any more than a corporate executive hasn't been able to invite his son or his daughter into the boardroom with him, perhaps, or his spouse. But, you know, getting into a franchise business requires many times more skills than just that of the primary person who's looking at the franchise. So if sales and marketing is a big part of a brand that you're buying into, and you've got a good skill set or background that would enable you to transfer some of your prior years of experience into sales and marketing, you may still have the need for accounting and finance. Who's doing that? And it may be
sure.
To bring your wife or a spouse or a significant other or a sibling into your business in a franchise world that you couldn't ever have done in corporate America or in the NFL or you know, some major league sport.
Very true.
Oh yeah, that's a huge appeal of franchising to most people, being able to, you know, control their own destiny and you know, get family members, friends, or close associates involved with something that they're trying to build into their own success story. That's a great point. You know, something else I want to touch on that you talked about, Michael, is talking about specific verticals, because as our listeners know, franchising is often misinterpreted as an industry. While it's a business model, a robust business model that caters to you know, dozens of industries. So outside of health and wellness, are there any other specific industries to which many of your athletes you're working with have gravitated?
I think the initial gravitation is always to quick service restaurants. It's what you see, it's what you grew up eating. So you know, and when every athlete comes to our summits, our events, no, we ask them what brands they know, what franchises do they think of when you think about franchising. And it's always food, quick service restaurant.
Always.
But we find, as we go through the educational process, we find, you know, our goal is to broaden that. It's to look at all the different industries that it overlaps and think about, you know, the recurring business model of a health and wellness gym. Or you think about, you know, a massage envy, or you think about an auto oil lube center, things like that. As you start to really look at all the different verticals, you know, you start to really see what fits your lifestyle, because you may not want to own a quick service restaurant that's open all day and all night. You may want to, you know, hey, I want to be open during business hours. I want to leverage my business connections in the market I played in, and I would rather do a fast sign or a UPS store. So you find that, you know, as you start to really dig deeper, you find an industry which works for you. And I'm sure it's the same, you know, kind of situation for retiring business executives.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, everyone comes to Rick or many franchise coaches or, you know, begins their exploration process looking at restaurants, which, I mean, does make sense. They are typically the more prolific. They comprise more than a third of franchising opportunities, period. Quick service restaurants in and of themselves, they employ most people in franchising, so that does make sense, but you hit it spot on. But I guess I would contemplate that maybe a difference is that, you know, athletes who are used to being a leader on a team and potentially working around a bunch of other people, and at times, you know, if they were a captain or a leader of a team managing many other people, that working at more of a brick-and-mortar location like what you were talking about at a quick service lube, at a restaurant, at a, say, a UPS store location, as opposed to being a, you know, service operator where, you know, they are working for a home-based business where they are on their own selling something or driving around and being their own one-stop shop. For an athlete, it may make more sense to be around a team mindset and retain that sort of identity and work in a franchise system that requires you to have employees, hire employees, and have sort of a team concept and a team success, as opposed to working as an independent business owner with just yourself to rely on. But obviously, everybody's different. They may be coming into franchising and being sick of working in a team situation and want to take control of their own stuff and have their own success be built off their own merits. So looks like you guys are certainly approaching things that way anyway.
Exactly. It's all about your lifestyle, the lifestyle you like to lead.
I would suggest to you that there are a great many more parallels that really, really aren't terribly different with the athletes that we see than with the candidates for a franchise from corporate America that Rick sees. And second to being well capitalized and knowing that you've got the amount of money required to build and live your dream as you're growing your business, the next most important thing that the athlete brings, that anyone brings, is passion for the business that they're getting into. And so the lifestyle piece and what you think you may want to get into as you approach this from the onset might change dramatically, as is often the case with certain candidates that Rick sees. You wind up thinking about your introspectives, what's really important to you. A lot of the athletes I've spoken with over the years through PAFI are guys who have come from tough homes, broken homes. They've come from neighborhoods where opportunities weren't really abundant for themselves. They want to go back to those communities, and their goal is not just to continue making big money, but it's to go back to those communities with the ability to build wealth and legacy and to help others that maybe can't be athletes still have an opportunity to grow through those communities and into a business that this athlete brings back to that community, giving them the opportunity to have a place to go and build a start to their lives that would otherwise not have been there.
Yeah, no, there's certainly a community aspect involved with athletes and what they want to do post-career. There's no doubt about it. So what's next for you guys in 2015? How are you guys going to help more athletes realize their dream of business ownership, make a transition past sports, and do what Stan just said, and, you know, be able to lead and live that passion back in their own community or another community they want to contribute to?
I would say for us it's about extending our outreach. So the more people we talk to, the more athletes we get in front of, the more traction we have. So we're working right now on the 2015 NFL Franchise Bootcamp. And that happens in April, and that's an event that the NFL puts on for all their athletes to attend. So working on that and continuing our effort, you know, just to extend our outreach, speak to as many people as possible, and definitely leverage, help guys leverage their position as professional athletes in transition.
You know, it's the same way that the educated franchisee is going to succeed. It's one customer at a time, getting out there every day and just continuing to touch people and their world and their businesses is what we're doing with PAFI, talking more and more athletes associations, player reps, wealth managers, league officials, others in the world of franchising, and literally side Sims of Sims Clothiers. And for years, and as Rick said, for all the people he
about what it takes to be successful in this world of franchising. We every day strive to accomplish, be that with corporate people, with athletes, and with anyone else who has an appetite to grow their business and own their business by, and then own their lives by doing so.
Stan, seems we have technical difficulties with you again, so I'm going to wrap up the show with Mike. If I can capture what you just said, I will. I can edit this part out too, but I will wrap up the show with him, and I will make sure to include what you just said if I can. So, all right, returning to the show. So, yeah, Mike, it seems like you guys have a lot of great stuff on tap. Seems like you guys are headed in the right direction and expanding your reach and influence and building your ecosystem out even further. You know, if you know, we have any athletes dialing in or anyone else who wants to be a part of PAFI or join the initiative or, you know, be a part of that ecosystem, how can they get in touch with you and how can they learn more about PAFI?
Perfect. Our website is www.thepafi.org. So thepafi.org.
Gotcha. So is there any place that anyone else can learn more about you? Do you have a website for your company or for any of your other initiatives?
I definitely want to steer by the PAFI and you get a better feel for what we're doing. And through that connection, you check out my bio and see what, you know, one of the things we have on tap for this year. But our focus in 2015 is really extending our outreach and getting on the ground and really bringing people to our resource.
Cool. Sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to share about PAFI? Do we miss anything that's important?
No, I definitely appreciate the invitation, Graham. I had a great conversation and definitely want to keep dialogue going.
No doubt. I appreciate your time. So to wrap things up, folks, that was a big conversation, big description about PAFI and sort of its parallels with what Rick is trying to accomplish with the Educated Franchisee, just a number of great folks within franchising who are committed to the growth of the space in general, trying to make people more educated, bringing them up to speed on the trends that are involved, and really managing expectations and building a larger ecosystem of people who are committed to the growth of the space and helping people get off to a successful start with their own business ownership opportunity. So again, please feel free to leave us some comments on this show or any other on Twitter at EducatedZ, Educated Z-E-E. Find Rick on LinkedIn and Entrepreneur by searching his name. Check back in for the second part of this two-part series with Stan Friedman on February 5th to learn more about his company, FRM Solutions, how it's changing the game for CRM and portal tools, and what he's doing to get ready for the big IFA convention coming up and giving you guys tips and tricks to prepare for your own conventions. And then be sure to check in with Rick on January 29th at 6 p.m. when he brings you his thoughts on the recent franchise business economic outlook, and we'll bring on guests from the IFA to talk about why franchising is poised for big success in 2015. So on behalf of Rick Bizio's Franchise Focus, my name is Graham Chapman. Thank you, Mike and Stan, for joining me today. We will catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for inviting.